Hey, welcome everyone to a Baseball America emergency podcast. I'm borrowing that phrase from, I think it's 538's podcast, that they call them emergency podcasts, but this is not an emergency vice presidential debate podcast. We'll leave that to 538. This is an emergency Buck Showalter podcast.
And we may do some of these, you know, just basically quick, really quick hits the morning after games, because obviously, like you listening to this podcast, we're going to watch these games. That's what we do.
And we talk about them. And that's what we also do. So,
and so instead of me just coming over and talking to John in his office and being lost to November, because I would have done that the first thing this morning, even we're going to put a microphone here and we're going to do it anyway.
Exactly. So unlike, just like Maureen McGovern, there has to be a morning after. So JJ, we both were on Twitter talking about this last night. And I was just talking about
it. And both were screaming about it before the 11th inning.
And I had a tweet that a scout friend just favorited the other, just a minute ago, that one of the tweets I sent last night was, you know, the only explanation that makes sense is that Britton got hurt, that Zach Britton got hurt or didn't feel right when he was warming up. Isn't it? Buck Showalter didn't get stupid suddenly. Well, I stand corrected. Buck Showalter, and the thing that just is insane to me, JJ, and really insane because Buck Showalter is by every measure but World Series championships one of the best managers of the last 30 years. I mean, he just is. He's won everywhere, but to not learn from your mistakes is just it's like a fatal blow to his resume. And 21 years ago, Jack McDowell against the Mariners, for the pitcher for the Yankees, I think it was John Wetland, who was still in his bullpen, yep, unused. And he suffered the same fate. How can you not use Zach Britton? Is there any defense for not using Zach Britton last night?
I'm not offering defense. I will say, though, that how people are wired. If you're Buck Showalter, one of the things that makes Buck Showalter who he is, and this is one of the strengths of being a good manager, and again, I do think that some of the things, sometimes the things that make you a very good manager over 162.
Bobby Cox.
Are things that actually cause you problems come the entirely different environment that is the playoffs. Buck Showalter has extreme confidence in himself and his decision making.
Right.
And so when you say, how do you not learn from that? Part of that I do think comes from the fact that if you're Buck Showalter, you have the confidence, which you've built up over all these years of success, to say, nope, I know what I want to do.
I believe my gut.
I believe in me. And it didn't work out, but I have many decisions I've made that don't work out.
Is that what Ubaldo means in Espanol? Does Ubaldo translate into belief in me?
The thing about it is though, I'll pose the question this way to you, John. If there wasn't for the fact that Jerome Holtzman some 50 years ago, 60 years ago, you know. 50 years ago. Essentially invented a stat. If we did not have a term for something like you come in the final inning with three outs, you know, with like three runs or less, would this have even been like, would there have ever been a decision here?
That's a great question, because the answer seems to be no, that you would not. I mean,
because when we go to firemen, when we go back to the old role of firemen,
right,
no one. This is not something you would have ever seen in a game in the 50s. There never would have been a situation where
the 70s. Raleigh Fingers would have been in that game, and he would have pitched three or four innings. Bruce Sutter would have, with his low strikeout rate. It's crazy to go back and look at the low strikeout rates of some of these all-time closers. Bruce Sutter, the year that he got his big contract from the Braves, I think his strikeout rate was 6.1 per nine. And this is a guy who invented, quote-unquote, the splitter. I mean, it's mind-boggling to go in today's game and look at those low strikeout rates. I digress, because it's a Baseball America podcast with John and JJ. It's what we do. But yeah, I mean, it's truly. And the thing is, Brad Brack and Darren O'Day earlier in the game were difficult, but at least more understandable, because those two guys they've earned all that trust. But Ubaldo Jimenez, and again, Ubaldo Jimenez has been good lately for the Orioles. He was great last week, but it was as a starter. So, and then Brian Dunsing. Nobody has chronicled Brian Dunsing's career at BA more than me, from his Nebraska days through Tommy John and his Twins farmhand. I always liked Brian Dunsing. But Brian Dunsing
was, but again, as I, and I probably went too far on this because he didn't really play a large role in this.
Right. Hey, he got us out.
He got us out. That being said, you have Zach Britton and you said, you know what? I'm going to go with the guy who we picked up when another team released him this year. The two guys that the Orioles chose, I know Buck talked about, you know, Ubaldo has been pitching really great lately.
Which he had.
Which lowered his ERA
to 5.44.
From 6+ to 5.44. So when you say he's been pitching great lately, what's left out of that is we do also have this epically long track record that Ubaldo Jimenez, essentially since the day that he became a Baltimore Oriole, has been a below average pitcher. Is that correct? Fair?
That's very fair.
I mean, its ERA is above 4 and FIP's above 4 by a significant margin pretty much throughout his Orioles career.
This is one where you just kind of like, just have to imagine, because I was playing Stratomatic with my son Monday. I mean, I know that the game is played with people and not cards, but just imagine you would never use the 5.44 ERA dude's card over the dude with the 0.60 ERA. You just would never do it ever in a million, billion, trillion years.
And this, I tweeted about this last night. The thing I flipped this is when we talk about this game is done by people and all that. And that's the part, though, I think that makes it worse for Buck Showalter.
I agree.
That is that if you're Zach Britton, who is one of the best, if not the best reliever in the game right now, and you are in a one-game playoff, how, not just crushing is it, but how,
he used the word frustrating, yeah.
How rage-inducing is it that everyone else, every other key guy who could play in that game for the Orioles, played?
How do you think that Chris Davis felt or Adam Jones felt? All those other Orioles, they're people. They noticed. They've been playing. Manny Machado's played behind Ubaldo Jimenez, and he's played behind Zach Britton. And he knows which one's better.
But again, especially if you're Zach
and
Britton.
And it ain't Ubaldo.
If you are a competitive athlete, and Zach Britton is the epitome of a competitive athlete, whatever your sport is, there is one thing if you're the backup, if you're the 12th guy on that, you know, in that pitching staff, and you're like, well, I didn't get in the game because, well, you know, I understand. You're Zach Britton. You can't wake up today anything other than, and you're not going to tell anyone, but you can't not wake up. The frustration almost goes into anger because it's like, why was I not allowed
correct
to give me the ball? And basically then, once I get on the mound, if you have to get some C4 to pry me off of the mound eventually, because if Zach Britton goes out there and pitches the 9th or the 10th, when the 10th's over, if he cruises through in the 10 pitches it may take him to do, it's not like he's going to go, Skip, I'm sorry, I gave you 10.
Although Roberto Osuna said claims that he did. Oh, I'm just tired. That'll be one to watch. But it is, I mean, we probably should wrap on Britton. But it is amazing, JJ. Could there be a player, do you think if Adam Jones had gone to Buck Showalter and said, hey, let's go down the tunnel real quick, let me talk to you, and said, we got to bring in Zach Britton here. Do you think that would have changed?
No.
Buck Showalter, I agree.
I think for one, Buck Showalter, again, this is not a manager who goes, you know.
He doesn't manage by committee.
Right. And I do think that that almost would, again, there is a certain almost military hierarchy in these things. The
right.
only guy who has essentially the right to do that in essence is either the pitching coach or the bench coach.
I would say maybe Matt Wieters. I do think a guy who's been
a catcher
for all that time,
but
could, if Matt Wieters, who doesn't have this kind of personality from my experience with Matt Wieters, if he'd gone to Showalter and said, hey, we got to go to Britton right here. We got to go to Zach. Let's win with Zach or lose with Zach. I think that maybe that would have meant something. But all those guys' experience is similar to Buck Showalter's experience, which is, I trust me, like you talked about. They trust Buck implicitly. He
right.
made
and
their franchise
that,
relevant again.
And
I don't blame
you,
them.
And by doing that, you almost then are saying, I don't trust you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you really are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, on a normal basis, none of those players goes up to Buck and goes, so can we talk about how you're going to construct the lineup tonight?
Exactly.
Or, you know, they don't do that. That's
they
not their job.
They completely trust him.
Right. It's all on him. I mean, the thing about it is when it was over, I mean, the press conference last night.
That was crazy. I'm sorry. It was like even Tyler Kepner of the New York Times was like, I still don't understand. Yeah. You're going to have to explain this to me. He goes, I'll talk to you off the
podium. My brain, it does not handle this because, again, the thing about it is that I just keep coming back to is that...
That was good job by Tyler.
But the thing I do not understand on this, I just really don't, is of all the things that are like... I don't even want to call it, but it is in some ways... I thought Ben did a good tweet. Ben Badler for us did a great tweet last night. He said, if I am an owner or I'm a GM I'm hiring a manager this offseason.
We're going through this.
One of the things we're going to do is we're going to sit down and watch this and I'm going to say, map this out for me.
Take me through your thought process of how this goes. Walk me through Buck Showalter's process and walk me through John Gibbons' process. What do you do? Okay, how do you know when to use Francisco Liriano? And he had to use him earlier than he thought. And Liriano, to his credit, was really good.
But again, the thing about it is what struck me about that, though, was that, and maybe I'm giving too much credit to John Gibbons and the Blue Jays, but what struck me was, and their bullpen obviously pitched great, better than we could have even...
Yeah, last 14 Orioles were retired.
But what struck me about that, although it is the Orioles, so pretty much it's like, okay, the last 14 retired, home run. Okay, yeah, exactly. You know, that's how it goes.
They stole a base last night.
I was stunned.
I did. That was an inadvertent Tim Kirkjian, but it was in the spirit of Tim
because
Kirkjian.
Because we talked about yesterday.
The Orioles stole a base yesterday.
We talked about it yesterday, although I did tweet yesterday about how Michael Bourne and Drew Stubbs did give them. Michael Bourne and Drew Stubbs had more stolen bases between them in their journeys before they ended up as Orioles this year than the entire Orioles team
had all
year.
And Bourne stole a bag, right?
And Bourne stole a bag. But the thing about it is that what did strike me, though, is like with Liriano, with all this, the best way in a winner-take-all, there is no tomorrow game, the best way to put it to me in all those instances is you play to win the inning.
Right.
And once that's over, you figure out what the next one does.
That's a great way to
put it. Because the reality is the thing you do not know, once you get past the ninth, you don't know if there's an 11th or a 12th or
that's
a 13th.
Right.
And if you lose the game in the 17th because you ran out and the other team didn't.
And you've got Chris Davis.
Right.
You've got Chris Davis in reserve.
You
he's pitched.
You know.
Where's Mark Trumbo?
No, Mark Trumbo. I mean, it's like, you know, if you end up losing in the 17th because of that, you do.
That's
but
right.
You know what? The chances that it's going to go 17 are like less than 5%.
Yeah, to get to the 17th, you have to win the 11th, or at least tie the 11th.
Right, and that's the thing is that what it comes down to is, when it's all said and done, was, what blew my mind with that is do you rather, you may end up that, if you're the Orioles, you may have ended up having to pitch Brian Dunsing and Ubaldo Jimenez in that game, no matter what, let's just say.
But you can't use them before Britton.
If you use Britton first, I'll just ask this simple question. Would you rather Ubaldo Jimenez be in the game where one mistake means you lose? Or would you rather Zach Britton keep it, you know, and then maybe you score and then you hand the game to Ubaldo Jimenez and go, Ubaldo?
Yeah.
We don't want you to give up any runs.
Right.
But if you give up one, we're still in the game.
Yep.
And again, we saw it in that situation. And in that situation, and I'm not saying it's an ideal situation to intentionally walk a guy, but but it was a situation where you could intentionally walk the guy, partly because it was Ubaldo Jimenez.
Right.
If Zach Britton was in the game, you would very much consider, you know what, we can intentionally walk this guy, because you didn't worry about it that Zach Britton's going to lose the strike zone for 7 or 8 pitches.
Exactly.
You do with Ubaldo Jimenez.
You could intentionally walk the batter, Encarnacion, and give Britton time to warm up.
Yes.
And then with your season on the line, you bring in Zach Britton, better late than never. But
at that point, it's like, I think Britton was, I mean, as someone else I follow on, a friend on Twitter, former coach put it, it's like, how many times did Buck, which I'm not.
Britton was up in the eighth.
I think he was up twice, wasn't he? Because he was up again.
He was up at least in the eighth, but the next time they showed a lefty, it was Dunsing warming up.
I like and respect a number of the guys who did that broadcast. It was baffling to me that we had to wait essentially to the post game.
Yeah, it was
because that's one of those things where I mean
it was never mentioned. Speak of this to no one. It's like someone did a Jedi mind trick on the broadcasters as well as Buck Showalter.
I do think that's one of the things that Ken Rosenthal had a good column today, and one of the things he said about it is this is what baseball is nowadays, because. That's what's great about baseball is if you were on Twitter last night, this was the discussion. At this point in 2016, we don't really need... I would have been great if they'd have been part of the conversation.
Right.
But we don't. Baseball fans and baseball writers now don't need them to be part of the conversation because the conversation was still going on right at that point.
But at the same time, if you're the producer or director of that broadcast, you want Ron Darling and Ernie Johnson and Cal Ripken, maybe, who's not going to be controversial. But you need one of those guys to lead that discussion. And Ron Darling, as a pitcher, should have been the guy. We should wrap up. I want to bring up three other things real quick. Number one, those two teams aren't championship profile teams necessarily, but those are championship profile catchers, JJ, and that's what they look like. 260 averages or 240, power, and both guys are excellent receivers, blockers, throwers.
I love watching Russ Martin.
Russell Martin's hands are so special. Just think back to that first All-Star game he made as a Dodger. It was like 2006 or 7. And there was this short hop throw to the plate where he backhanded it like a shortstop. Because he has the best hands. I love watching Russ Martin pitch because of his hand. And that graphic they show with all the playoff teams he's been on, that's not a coincidence. Second of all, those two teams did not start profile corner outfielders. Ezekiel Carrera and Michael Bourne. No. What? So profile, those are championship profile catchers. But you don't, with 30 teams and yada, 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 it's hard to always have championship profile guys in every position. Those were two examples. Yes. And you talked about how, this is one we'll write this offseason, about how left field was an offensive wasteland this year in the major leagues. Ezekiel Carrera starting in left field for a playoff team is one example of that. And of course he had a hit in an RBI. And the third thing I wanted to throw out there is a blanket on my mind right now. I can't remember what it was. I think it was just Russell Martin's crazy career.
I was just going to say that.
It was Russell Martin and Wieters, Russell Martin, and those non-profile outfielders.
The thing I'll just wrap up with is we get to do another one of these tonight, which will be fun. And
it was Rangers Blue Jays. Please, bring it on.
That'll be awesome because, again, I am someone for whom emotion in the game is a good thing.
Agreed.
And it sounds weird to say this, but I mean, we've just gone through the epic tragedy of Jose Fernandez, and it's like Jose Fernandez embodied to me what was good about passion for the game.
Correct.
And we are going to see a lot of what I consider good. Now, that does not mean I want Rougned Odor, basically.
We don't need punches, but we just need fire.
It doesn't need to be, it doesn't need to be roadhouse at second base. But
a rivalry's good for the game, so I don't want, we don't need.
I want bat flips in this. I want it to be something where I hit a home run, and you know what? I don't like you guys, so boom, there's the bat flip. And then you know what you can do? When Adrian Beltre does something, then he can go crazy enough. Let's do it.
Adrian Beltre probably won't, but Rougned Odor, he just might. All right, good
stuff. And by the way, another thing I was going to say is if I'm playing a wild card game, I've got to feel pretty good if I got Madison Bumgarner on the mound.
Well, on the converse, I would feel pretty good if I had Noah Syndergaard on the mound.
That's true,
I mean, that's...
But I when we talk about, yesterday I was saying, when Stroman got through five, it's good, he got him through five, There's a little different tonight. Madison Bumgarner, I do think it's going to be literally, if you are going
to pitching the eighth right-handed, you're not taking me out for Sergio Romo.
If you remove him from the game, I think you better take a crowbar to the mound. I mean, because he's going to have nailed something.
This is true. Most likely to bat flip tonight. Most likely player to bat flip. I'm saying it's Yoenis Cespedes.
Yes, I would agree with that.
All right. Good stuff. We'll do this again tomorrow morning when draft report card hell is upon us.
Yes.
For JJ Cooper, I'm John Manuel. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Baseball America podcast. So long, everybody.